5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Araldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Do you have any murder statistics for yesterday here in New York?
Well, not for yesterday, but Friday into Saturday, it just kept coming into my email. You know, I have a direct link to the NYPD. When they put a report out of a murder, it comes right into my email box. And it was one after another. It was really unbelievable.
I am steaming mad this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this Monday morning, this rainy Monday morning, after being accused by a lawyer activist I know, Michael Myers. You may recall him, the founder of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. He named the group. He heads it. He accused me and some of my colleagues at Fox News of demonizing young black men by focusing on the recent epidemic of black-on-black killings. This morning, thanks to my friend Roland Martin of TV One, we're going to do kind of an unprecedented simulcast between Roland's show and this show, and Michael Myers will be joining us. We don't have a handle on what happened in the Big Apple on Sunday. That's one thing Baltimore has that New York does not have. It's prompt reporting of violent crime. And in that Maryland city, the body bag city, that's what it used to be called. It's being called that again. The reporting there reflects the river of blood that continues to gush through that stricken community at a historic rate. We don't have Sunday murder statistics here in New York. We have them in Baltimore. Three killed just yesterday, last day of May. That made May the deadliest month in Baltimore in over 40 years. 43 killed. 116 in that small city, 7% the size of New York, 116 this year. Of the 116 homicides in Baltimore, 103 are black. So as we try to get the final totals from the Grim Reaper here in New York City, we do know, thanks to the Daily News, and Noam alluded to this, in a 4-hour, 40-minute period from late Friday night to very early Saturday morning, four men, one Latino, killed here in New York City. 23-year-old Joel Rivera shot to death at 11:20 Friday night on Andrews Avenue in the South Bronx. As far as I know, we're not related. The other three victims were all black. 23-year-old Jihad Marshall shot in the back and face while visiting Long Island City's Queensbridge houses at 2:30 Saturday morning, the result of a fight over what was called local rivalries. By witnesses interviewed by the Daily News. Two others in that incident were shot but survived. 21-year-old Tarif Combs was fatally stabbed on the grounds of the Mott Haven houses in the Bronx. That happened at about 1:30 Saturday morning. A man nearby was shot. They don't know if the incidents were related. He is expected to survive. So there was a quartet of homicides in that 4-hour, 40-minute span. The other one was a 40-year-old, lots of fours there, 40-year-old Corey Clark, a visitor from Texas, shot dead at 4 a.m. Saturday morning outside the Marcus Garvey houses in Brownsville, Brooklyn. So like I said, we can't find who, if anybody, was shot and killed on Sunday in New York City. But today, this Monday morning, the local news program showing surveillance video footage of a young black man in a hoodie walking backwards on Reed Avenue in the Bed-Stuy section of Brooklyn as he fires his machine gun. He escapes after wounding at least one bystander. Okay, now Roland Martin, you're going to take it over, my friend and colleague at TV One. He has Michael Myers as his guest. Roland, why don't you set it up? Hello, Roland. You good to go? All right, we'll try to get that. You get that? Make that connection? All right, we'll try and fix that connection. But let me continue with what I was saying. In New York City so far, so Baltimore, remember, this tiny city, 7% the size of ours, you had 116 homicides. New York, far larger, you had 123 homicides. That's up from 107 last year, which was a historic low. Okay, so, okay, now, Roland, take it away. Set it up, brother. You set up what we're trying to do this morning.
Right, so, Roland, you're there. So, Michael Myers was on Newsmax last week, and he said that he felt that, he loves Fox News, but he felt that they demonized black men too much. And he specifically mentioned Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, and Geraldo Rivera. And he said that the Stoops need to deal with that. And I booked Michael, then I tweeted the story out. Then you said there was nothing. I said, why don't you have both of you on? And so we're on my radio show. I'm going to a break, but we're on Geraldo's show. So my listeners, when you come back, you're going to hear from Geraldo and Michael. But Michael's on the phone line and Geraldo as well on the Roland Martin Show with Simulcast on Geraldo's show as well. Gentlemen, let's have this conversation. And so, Michael, I want to start with you. You just said clearly, Michael, that you think Fox needs to stop with the demonizing of black men. Explain that, Michael.
Yes, let me just say the connection is very bad, but I think I heard your question. I heard Geraldo earlier, as I hear him almost every day on radio and TV, talk about the young black man in a hoodie. I don't understand what that means in the context of crime. Crime is an individual act. It's not a racial act. The idea that black people are more prone to criminal behavior than other races, and I put the word race in quotes, it's just race baiting. It's fostered by the media, including Geraldo, including Bill O'Reilly, including Megyn Kelly, who every day keep harping on the so-called black male as society's moral monsters. And I think that there is no such thing as the black male, just like there is no such thing as the Italian male or the Jewish male. But when it comes down to black people, they always denigrate and describe black men as society's monsters. And this is a persistent campaign to saddle blacks with the crime label.
Okay. All right. So, Geraldo, your response.
My response is, first of all, the statistics. And, Michael, I am ashamed of what you just said. Black New Yorkers are 20. Let me finish. I let you finish. Let me finish. Black New Yorkers are 25% of the population. They represent 60% of all the homicides. In Baltimore, 123 dead so far, 107 of them black men. Now, at what point, when you witness this urban suicide that I think should be the civil rights issue of our era, are you going to stop pointing fingers and look in the mirror, Michael?
Let me say this. You don't have to be ashamed of anything that I say, Geraldo. Now, let me speak to your point about statistics. And I don't need to go back with the whole idea that statistics also, like statisticians, lie. Let me tell you something.
60% all homicides, black New York.
Let me tell you something. You don't go into the socioeconomic issues. You always simplify. You always exaggerate.
What was the exaggerate? I gave you the absolute numbers, and it is easy to demonize someone who points out the truth.
Michael, 1 second. Geraldo, go ahead, and then Michael, you're going to
finish. Respond?
Yes, you are. Yes,
the only homicide in Baltimore that was protested was the death of Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old who died in police custody. Where are the protests,
Michael,
for these other men and some women who've been shot dead in Baltimore?
I got to reply. First of all, even with your statistics, blacks, too, are the victims of crime. Yes, blacks are the victims of robbery. Blacks are primarily in the areas in which they live. They are the victims of rape. They are the victims of murder in the areas in which they live. Now, they need protection, too, from crime. They need protection
from crime. I agree.
Will you let me, will you let me finish?
I'm agreeing with you.
They need protection from people who, because they're black, they need protection from criminals of whatever color. So when you try to talk about the black male as the problem, you try to change the subject from the issue of accountability and responsibility on the part of police officers who violate their civil rights.
Why is it, Michael, why is it that the only black lives that matter are the black lives taken by white cops? Why is that? Why is there this denial of a reality that is so grim that it has historic proportions and we can't deal with it? I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP, first of all, and for you to accuse me of demonizing black men, shame on you for that.
Gerardo, you are still, you trade in simplification. You trade in generalization.
You avoid reality, Michael.
I just told you that black people are the primary victims of crime in the neighborhood.
I agree with that. That's why it should be the civil rights issue of our era.
But here's my question, gentlemen. Here's my question. Because the basis of Michael's criticism, he said, was that the amount of time Fox spends demonizing black men. One of the things that I brought up, and I'll ask you for the first time for the mic, that I've listened to Bill O'Reilly. I've listened to Sean Hannity. I've listened to Megyn Kelly. And what I've never seen them actually leave the studio to actually take their show on the road and go into these communities. To actually say, no, let's go to the streets to find out what's going on there. Do you believe that should happen, Geraldo? Get out of the New York studio and hit the ground.
Roland, you and I stood shoulder to shoulder on North Avenue in Baltimore during the protests and riots. You and I were both there. I'm the eyes and the ears of those anchor people. I reported, we went live at sometimes 35 minutes in a row, uninterrupted by commercials. We went 60 minutes without commercials. We were showing what the reality was over there. Now, maybe, as de Blasio and others now are saying, The spike in homicide is restricted to gangs or crews fighting over drug turf, or in Baltimore, it's because of this breakdown in trust between cops and the community following the Freddie Gray protests. I don't know what the cause is, but I'm working with Jim Brown, who I work with at Cabrini Green in Chicago. We're going to go and talk to the Bloods and the Crips and try and find out what is going on and to try to lower the temperature. But to deny that there's a river of blood in the urban center and the black people are suffering at a far disproportionate rate, Michael's right about that. I think that where's the president? Where is the NAACP? Where is Occupy This or That? Where's the Reverend Sharpton or Jackson? That's what I say, Roland.
Okay, Michael?
Well, I say one more time, Geraldo. You do more talking than you listen. My point is that when we have a discussion going on about police abuse and misconduct, Fox News and your compadres over there constantly change the subject from the civil rights violations of people in the black community by police officers, law enforcement officers, to, well, let's talk about black-on-black violence. This is not a conversation about black-on-black violence, because we will concede that there is crime in virtually every community. And in the black community, where people are consigned to live because of discrimination and segregation, there is, of course, crime. And I always argue that we have to have crime stamping issues and resolution of crime. But that's not a racial issue. That's a societal issue. And therefore, we have to have police officers who engage in law enforcement.
All right, I want Roland to say whether it's a racial issue. Do you think, Roland, it's a racial issue?
Roland, how can I ask you this here? Fox.com did a story a few months ago when it became this whole black-on-black crime deal. And this is a story on the rise in white-on-white crime. Now, here's my question to both of you. I have never seen on cable news a discussion about white-on-white crime, because if you look at crime, most whites kill whites and most blacks kill blacks.
Well, that is true, Roland. I totally, races tend to keep their violence within the race. But when you see, like, Latinos are 25% of the population of New York, they're 25% of the homicides.
Because
blacks, as I said,
together,
are 25% of the population, they're 60% of the homicides. Whites are 50% of the population. There's 6% of the homicides. If you're a white person in New York, the odds are you're not going to get murdered. I mean, that's just statistics.
Hold on. I understand it. But my question is, when we talk about crime, I only hear black-on-black crime.
Because the numbers are so disproportionate. That's why. That's why. I mean, it's undeniable. See, why don't we have a Jim Brown kind of approach? Why don't we admit what the situation is?
You want to drop some more names of your black friends?
Come on, Michael. Come on, Michael. We are dealing with it.
Come on.
Jim Brown is coming to Newark next week. He's doing something. What are you doing, Michael Myers? What are you doing to stop the problem? You're not even admitting the problem exists. You're not even admitting the problem exists, Michael Myers. You're in denial.
Michael, you made a point about him dropping names. Why? You're critical of that. Do you believe, Michael, that Geraldo, working with Jim Brown or any other people, white, Hispanic, or whatever, that makes a difference? Why is that important?
Let me say this. No, Fox News Channel and its on-air personality are supposed to be colorblind. That's what they pretend.
All right, first of all, why don't you talk about me and not about Fox News?
Let me finish.
Geraldo, hold on one second.
Let me finish. And they always talk about black-on-black this and black-on-black violence, black-on-black crime. Now, soon as a black professor talked about white males as a social problem, Fox News Channel thought that was racist. Now, they don't mind talking about black males every day and every night.
Friday column pointing out that white people are uniquely prone to these mass murders, like the one Aurora, Colorado, James Holmes, and Jared Kushner and Adam Lanza.
Yeah,
I pointed that out. That is a reality. But statistically, that is a blip. That is a blip in the total number of homicides.
You don't get it that people of all colors commit crimes.
You don't get that there's a ghetto civil war going on, Michael.
You continue to harp on the so-called black male as society.
Because it is a disproportionate phenomenon. If we're going to protest Freddie Gray, for God's sakes, how can you not protest 122 of the 123 homicides there?
You want to change the topic. You want to change the topic from...
You want to avoid the topic.
...on the part of police.
You want to avoid the topic.
Michael Geraldo, hold on. Here's the question I have. I have covered those rats. I have covered those events. I have been there. The question I have for you, Geraldo, and this is all I want to know. On any of these Fox News shows, have they actually shown in the black community where people have been, who have protested killing the communities, who have had marches, had peace vigils, have they shown that?
They showed the one that Reverend Jackson put on in Chicago a couple of months ago. It was relatively small compared to the Ferguson protests, to the Eric Garner Staten Island protests, to the protests of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. There are a tiny portion of these protests, which are about a tiny portion of the black murders that are going on.
You gotta say black murders.
Roland, I've got to, you know, with simulcasting, I am so sorry, but I've got to take a commercial.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Oh, Michael, stop it. Stop it. You're irking me now. I respect you for what you try to do with the Civil Rights Coalition, but you're irking me with your ad hominem insinuations, which are avoiding the situation.
I'm being ad hominem.
I got to go to break, but I'll come back if you want me.
Cool.
All right, let me go to a quick break before they have a bit over here. I'll get right back. If you keep the line open, let me do my break. I'll come back. You guys, like they say, what's their name? Michael Myers as Barbara Streisand on Saturday Night Live. Go ahead. Talk among yourselves. Talk among yourselves. I'll be right back.
Live, local, on it. 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
39 minutes after 10 o'clock this morning, we have had an extraordinary exchange with the help of Roland Martin, who is a pal of ours who runs a program on TV1, Where Black Life Unfolds on TV1. It's available on the internet, digital cable satellite network. That's Roland Martin's program. Roland has Michael Myers as his guest. Michael is the president and executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, and he accused me and some of my colleagues Okay, Roland, take it away. Just setting it up for my listeners here at WABC Radio. So, okay, Roland, take it away.
Yeah, my question is for you, Geraldo, and then Michael answers this. Geraldo, can we have discussions about crime, no matter whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Ferguson, whether it's any of the places, can we have discussions without the distinction of race? And should we?
I don't think so. I think that it is like the new rules that say you can't identify the race of the perpetrator for fear of profiling. I think that that is bizarre. If someone sticks up a bank and he's an Asian guy and you can't say he's an Asian guy, I mean, how can eyewitnesses be armed to tell cops that they spotted the perpetrator if they don't know what race the perpetrator is? I think that it is bizarre and counterproductive, and it's taking political correctness to an extent where it becomes counterproductive.
Michael.
Well, let me answer it this way. The police will give a description of a Hispanic guy in a white T-shirt with sneakers. You just described most of Dominican the Dominican section of Manhattan. That's not a description. What does Hispanic mean?
I would say that that's a stereotype, Michael, but I'll let you
answer, Geraldo. What does Asian-looking mean? What does a black male mean? They're all levels and great and skin colors of blacks. So and that is not that's not the basis for identifying a particular and a specific subject. What it does is to give the impression to the community at large that we're looking for black men in white T-shirts, and that's not going to help a police investigation. Now, let me tell you something else about your statistics, Geraldo, because the overwhelming majority of blacks are not involved with crime. The overwhelming majority of blacks need protection from criminals of any stripe. And by the way, stop and frisk, because this is something else you've been hopping on. Stop and frisk. The overwhelming number of people who are stopped by police in New York and elsewhere are black and Hispanic, and guess what? Wholly innocent of any crime when stopped and frisked.
When stop and frisk ended, homicides have spiked 15%, Michael, and we have not yet gotten to summer. We have not yet gotten to the long, hot days of August. You wait. I don't know where you were, if you were even an adult in 1977. I was here. I was here when the South Bronx burned in the blackout. I was here that summer of Sam. I know what it's like when people are driven out of the city because crime is 2,000 murders. Stop and frisk lowered the New York homicide rate from 2,000 a year to 300 a year. Now we're seeing the spike. But from 2,000 to 300, 1,700 lives were saved. What was the identity of those 1,700 lives that are saved each and every year in this city?
Well, answer your question. First of all, stop and frisk has not ended. Geraldo, stop and frisk has not ended. It is a legitimate and continuing tool of the police department. What has ended, or what is supposedly have ended, is the unconstitutional racial profiling aspect of stop and frisk. What has supposedly ended is Ray Kelly's era of stopping blacks in black communities because, as he puts it, well, it's the blacks in these communities who are committing crime.
Michael, what about this phenomenon that the only black man whose death is being protested in Baltimore is Freddie Gray, when you have 102 other victims who are black and no protest this year alone in Baltimore?
Okay, but here's my question here. All right, so, and this is for you and Michael. All right, so should only blacks be protesting that? So I'm going to break the phone here. Should pro-lifers, should white evangelical pro-lifers be in the streets in Baltimore saying,
the same people who are protesting the death of Freddie Gray should be protesting these 102 other victims, or 116 other victims if you take all of them, including the 13 who were not black.
I understand your point, but I'm asking.
But Geraldo, you are really short-sighted. Because the people who are protesting
Michael, I want to stop a bloodletting here.
Freddie Gray are not just blacks.
I know.
Blacks.
That's the answer to the question. The same people who are protesting Freddie Gray's death should be protesting all of these other deaths.
So the answer to Roland's question is that the community at large of all colors are concerned about crime and criminals. All people are concerned
I wish that was true. Because if it were true, then they would be protesting all of these other murders, including the overwhelming majority, which are black on black.
Don't you see the difference? Don't you see the difference between Let me answer your question. Don't you see the difference between garden variety crime and a crime that is committed by a police officer?
This is the difference. Why are police officers involved in all of these incidents involving young black men? Isn't it because the young black men are in a criminal environment that draws the cops far disproportionate to the rest of the community? There are so many more potential incidents or potential settings where an incident can happen. So many more. You got to deal with the root cause. That's the civil rights issue of our era. And we just don't get it because we're in denial, and it's so much easier to point fingers than to look in the mirror.
Well, and this is where I would disagree. I can look at a number of these cases, but I can tell you, when you have a case of a John Crawford who is carrying an air rifle in a Walmart in an open carry state.
Awful.
And
awful.
He gets spotted. Here's the deal. I mean, I'm just curious. I don't know how much attention Fox News paid to that story. I would have thought they would have been saying, look, this victim got absolutely screwed, but, of course, the cops didn't get indicted. Robbie Tolan, Bel Air, Texas, driving his own car with his friend, pulled into his driveway. The cops snatch him. They say, oh, there was a report of a stolen car. His mom and dad come out of the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. They say, that's my son's car. Daddy was a Major League Baseball player. Slam mama up against the garage. The son jumps up. What are you doing? You're hurting my mom. Shoot Robbie Tolan. His baseball career is over. The case goes. The cops don't even get indicted.
Roland, you're absolutely right about all of that. And that's why I've made a major editorial point of saying I want tasers in the hands of urban cops, not tanks. And I think that the civil rights division of the Justice Department of the United States should be the first to be involved in all police-involved shootings. It should be a federal jurisdiction, presumed, a rebuttable presumption. But I want the feds in every single incident of a cop shooting.
Well, the feds can't get into every single incident.
But I want them to. I want them to be the lead agency. It is a real problem, but it pales in comparison to the bloodletting in the black community.
Michael, my question for you.
Yes.
Said the feds should get involved. But the reality is, these really are city and
state issues.
And so, Michael,
yes,
what should change where the community has trust and people can say, I got to be able to trust that cop as well.
Exactly.
He's going to be investigated. Michael.
Exactly. My answer to that is, first of all, we can't engage in racial rhetoric. Sheer racial rhetoric does not do it. Saying that a person community lives in a criminal environment is not a basis for stop and frisk, and it's not a basis for police misconduct towards people who
reasonable
live in that
suspicion is.
Let me answer the question.
Michael,
now, with respect to the state and the city issues, that's exactly the question. We cannot change the subject, because when it comes down to questions of police conduct and misconduct, we know from evidence that police officers cannot police. They don't do it. There is no, and in Baltimore and other cities, there is no civilian involvement with investigations of police misconduct. In Baltimore, only police officers can investigate police misconduct.
Roland, I've got commercials that I've got to go to. I'm so sorry. But I'm telling you that my final statement, if I can make one, is
go right ahead.
I believe that police misconduct is a very serious issue. But the civil rights issue of our day is the suicide that we are committing in the inner city.
Well,
I would say
the civil rights issue of our day.
Who's this we?
Lesser school system, because I think more kids are being.
Well, I don't disagree with that either.
Who's this?
I love both you guys. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I gotta take a break.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Just a minute to go. We had some transmission problems at the early part of the hour. I may play some of what happened. It was quite dramatic at the top of the next hour. the simulcast with Roland Martin and Michael Myers of the NYCRC. We'll talk about that and about, you know, black-on-black crime. Is that the issue, or is the real issue crime on crime? Noam will tell us his reflection of what happened. You want to give us a headline?
The headline was, I think you were both talking past one another.
Meaning?
Neither. Well, you were hearing better than he was. He wasn't hearing what you said at all. Because he didn't want to.
Because he didn't want to. Yeah. Right. All right, your calls, 866-ERALDO. We're talking about what I think is the civil rights issue of our era. A lot of it has to do with questions about stop and frisk, etc. Your calls, 866-ERALDO, after the news.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Araldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Welcome back at 7 minutes after 11 o'clock on this rainy, kind of miserable, cold, wet Monday. Is there more rain forecast there,
yes,
buddy?
Yes, through tomorrow night.
Through tomorrow night. Yeah. So there's flooding, all kinds of lightning. I had an exciting afternoon on the dock at Edgewater. See this storm come right down the Hudson River Valley, took the bridge first, all the dark black clouds, then lightning everywhere. And then when I got back to Manhattan last night, I was looking out, looking west toward New Jersey, and I saw those lightning strikes, evidently one hitting in Elizabeth and causing a fire.
It caused a fire, and the woman actually never got out of the house. She passed away.
Oh, it was a fatality. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Ah, horrible. We have the school picnic scheduled for Central Park this afternoon.
That's
what are the
happening.
Odds?
Yeah.
Not happening.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. Then I take my buddy in from Israel out to dinner. You know, it is extremely emotional and wrenching for me personally as a former storefront lawyer, a civil rights activist, lifetime member of the NAACP to be accused by people of good intention, not bad people, to be accused by them, you know, my allies in the struggle for civil rights over the decades of quote unquote demonizing black men because I'm pointing and, you know, as me and my colleagues at Fox News pointing to this, you know, to places like New York and Baltimore, Baltimore particularly, just take Baltimore very specifically here. You've had 116 murders so far this year in Baltimore, about the same as the 123 murders here in New York. You know, a difference of what? Seven homicides. We've had seven more than Baltimore. 123 here, 116 there. Baltimore is 7% the size of New York. So it is a 15 times more higher murder rate in Baltimore. And the vast majority of the 116 homicides in Baltimore, 103 are black. 61% here in New York, you know, so it's, you know, there's obviously a racial disproportion here. What I argued with, Michael Myers, the president and executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, was that this is a crisis, a civil rights issue of our day. He said it's not a civil rights issue. It's not a race issue. It's a crime issue. I disagree, although he kind of echoes what Bill Bratton and Mayor de Blasio have been saying here in New York. We don't have a murder spike here. We have a spike of gang-related violence. Bratton going on to say that our problems here in New York of the 76 precincts are confined to 15 precincts. Which 15 precincts? I'll give you a guess. 45% of all the murders in New York, up 15% from year ago so far, year to date. 45% of those homicides, according to the NYPD, are gang-related. I still say, I maintain with all my heart, I see what's going on here. What's going on here is the rest of the world is having a relative non-violent, crime-free life, while the ghetto, if I can be so bold, is committing a kind of suicide that I think is very, very distressing. Our friend Cheryl, you remember Cheryl? She was on the radio with us she's from Ohio, originally from New York, family still in New York. Cheryl was also on my Fox News program reporting live from Baltimore during the height of the protests. And she joins us now on 866-ERALDO. Thanks for calling back, Cheryl. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'll tell you, it was really depressing listening to your discussion with Mr. Myers, because when a major civil rights leader won't even acknowledge the existence of the problem, you know that it's going to be difficult to ever begin to try to solve the problem. When he can't even acknowledge that black-on-black crimes in these communities is taking a drastic toll on his own people, that he continually argued with you and tried to divert the discussion to white police officers, rather than just acknowledging, yes, this is a horrible problem. And the reason, Geraldo, I want to disagree with you on one thing. You said that the black male on black male crime is a civil rights issue of our time. I disagree. I think that the number of children who are being caught in the crossfire of these gang wars is the number one civil rights issue of our time. On May 28th, one of the people killed in Baltimore was 7-year-old Kester Brown. This little boy, 7 years old, Geraldo, a student, a Mandarin, fluent in Mandarin Chinese, a student at the Baltimore International School, one of the brightest futures imaginable. He and his mother shot in the head, gangland style, because his father, who's currently in jail, was involved in gangs when he was on the streets. You know, this is something that you can't get one civil rights issue, one civil rights leader to address this issue. And it is killing me that they seem not to care about the lives of their own people, and especially the lives of their own children.
Well, you know, it is so frustrating, and it's so easy to be accused of a name. Whenever I oppose Bibi Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, somebody calls and says, Geraldo, you're anti-Semitic. You're a self-hating Jew. When you talk about black-on-black crime, the easiest thing to be accused of is racism, or you're demonizing young black men. It is an intellectually cheap and easy way to attack, and it scares away a lot of commentators. Not me. I'm from the street. No one can argue with my credibility in terms of where I've been in the last decades, and yet the charge is easily hurled, and a lot of people are diverted, and that may be why the President of the United States or some key members of Congress never address this issue. It is so frustrating.
Or they don't care about the issue. I mean, that's a real hard thing for someone to have to look at. But what if it's a matter of they simply don't care about this?
I hope you're wrong about that one, Cheryl. But I appreciate your call. You're a terrific, thoughtful person. I appreciate it. Okay, Mike in Long Island, what's up, man?
Yeah, hey, Harold. How you doing? I think Cheryl just hit it right in the head. I really think the people like Mike Myers really don't care. You were giving him some stats, basically saying how many shootings that there were, and he just glossed right over that, saying, well, it's police brutality that really matters. As far as I know, in Baltimore right now, there are about 50 homicides that happened since that whole Freddie Gray incident. None of them were police-related.
There's been more this month than in 40 years, 43 this month.
Yeah, and people like Mike Myers and I guess de Blasio and other people, they just gloss over that. And you'd have to think that it's because it suits their agenda now to keep on pushing the police issue and to try to get whatever money that brings them in to generate their own well-being. And it's a shame because they're missing, you know, thousands of people going to die, and the people that can be addressing it aren't.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the call. Very thoughtful. Appreciate that. From Brooklyn, Dave's on the line. What are you thinking about, Dave? Thanks for calling.
I kind of agree with Mike Myers. There is racism. You know, there's another type of crime in America that no one dares talk about. That's called white-collar crime, where people can steal hundreds of billions of dollars, and no one speaks of the ethnicity behind that. Almost all the major white-collar crimes in America are committed by Jewish Americans. I mean, whether it's the collapse of the economy in 2008, all those bankers were Jewish. But you can't get one radio talk show host to say that the bankers at Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, AIG, Goldman Sachs, robbed the nation, put the nation to poverty, and 90% of them were Jewish. But you won't dare get... No one will dare say that because they'll lose their job.
I just dared to let you say it for 5 minutes, dude. How do you feel when you hear something like that?
I don't know. I don't think too much about it.
What about the truth of what he said?
You know, I'd have to go in and see. Are there a lot of Jews working on Wall Street and in banking? Yeah, there are. So chances are he may be semi-accurate with his numbers.
John in Long Island, you're on the line. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
I appreciate your call. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't think you guys are having a fair discussion about the stop, question, and frisk, because all these months and years I've been hearing you debate it, no one's, you just touched on it. You mentioned the words reasonable suspicion, and no one even comments on common law inquiry, which gives the police officer right to stop someone and question them.
I agree.
You guys are jumping all the way from...
All right, so guide us through it, John. John, first of all, are you on the job by any chance?
Yes.
All right, so just without identifying yourself, give me broad strokes what your, you know, career... Where are you? Where are you?
I'm in the South Bronx where most of the murders there are being ignored. And, I mean, for Bill Bratton and Bill de Blasio to say this is a gang-related problem, a cop with 2 days on the street could have told these guys that.
Right.
Of course it's a gang-related and a drug problem.
And so when you see a gangbanger, do you feel confident that you can stop, question, and frisk someone that you know has been arrested before for gang violence?
Well, right away everyone uses the stop, question, and frisk as it's like a three-pronged, and you assume it goes together. I don't have to frisk somebody. I can stop them and question them, and they move on. And there you go, and I did my job. I prevented a crime. I don't have to put my hands on someone, Geraldo. I can say, hey, buddy, how you doing today?
But do you feel that you've been, disarmed in a way by the federal court and all that's happened since last year?
Oh, absolutely, Geraldo. Now you don't even have cops, doing what I just said. I can engage someone by saying, hey, buddy, how's school today? I know they're not in school. But you know what? He might say, hey, the cops are out here. Let's move on.
And you're suggesting that some cops won't even do that because of the climate right now?
Absolutely not. And if you want to talk, if people want to talk about abuses within the police department, the biggest abuse is the Civilian Complaint Review Board, who takes any complaint, and when it's discovered to be unfounded or a lie, there's no recourse for the police officer.
That's a good point. That's a good point, John. I appreciate you, and thank you for your service. I appreciate you bringing it up.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
It is 25 minutes after 11 o'clock. At the bottom of the hour, after Noam's 11:30 newscast, we'll play the beginning of the program, the simulcast with my pal Roland Martin, who runs Where Black Lives Unfold on TV One. It's a digital cable satellite network. He brought on Michael Myers, the president and executive director of the NYCRC, to debate me after Michael Myers said that I and my colleagues at Fox News have been demonizing black men by pointing out the blood. It's actually it's not black or white. It's a red problem. The blood that gushes now. River of blood running in Baltimore and Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago, and some evidence of it even here in New York, where between Friday at 11:20 and Saturday morning at about 4:40, you had four murders, three of them young black men, one Latino who ironically is named Rivera in the South Bronx. So we'll play that at the bottom of the hour, and we'll take your calls also following that. Actually, I'll take some of your calls right now. If you've been listening to the program so far, what's on your mind? We'll go to Tommy in New Jersey. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how's it going, Geraldo?
I'm pretty good, man.
I listen to your show quite frankly often, and whenever you have like these guests, like these prominent black leaders or something like that, you know, they always go like into damage control and say this and say that and pretty much obscure the facts, where you will give them, you know, live data and everything that's, you know, statistically shown and right there on the paper, and they just go around and weave around the questions. And tell me,
where do you live? Where do you live? Give me your town. I don't want you to identify yourself, but tell me, where do you live?
I live in East Orange, and I mean, I'm right next to Newark. All of them the same.
Right. Do you have any experience in Newark? Do you know about Newark?
Of course.
All right. What do you think of now? Jim Brown wants to go into Newark and talk to the gangbangers, the Crips and the Bloods, and try and do what he did in L.A., make peace, because he theorizes that a lot of the violence is fighting over drug turf, and then a lot of the other people who get killed in the crossfire. What do you think of that idea?
I mean, it is the gangs, but at the same time, I'm not going to say the gangs is misunderstood, but at the same time, they are misunderstood. They feel as though they don't have a voice. And I'm not, you know, taking up for them or any way like that.
I hear that.
if you do right, you do right. You do wrong, you do wrong. Like, I'm, that's the type of person I am. So, you know, if you do a crime, you should go to jail. What I'm saying is, like, some of these programs, like, it's the community itself is already degraded. And it's just like a two-minute video I've seen on internet, and it says the corridor of pain. And it shows from Washington, D.C., the Amtrak, ironically, the Northeast Corridor, how it goes from Washington, D.C. to New York. And it shows, like, between those two stops, it's like despair. You look out the window. I mean, you just went recently with the Baltimore and, you know, the Amtrak.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I got to look that up. 2 minutes of pain.
The pain, the corridor of pain.
Corridor of pain, right. Sorry. A 2-minute video on YouTube, corridor of pain. Tommy, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right, man. All right, let me take, I only have a few seconds. If you callers, just be patient. I know we have some excellent callers on the line right now. I don't want to give you a short shrift. I don't want to give you 30 seconds when you have more to talk about than that. So we'll put the calls off till the other side of Noam's news break. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the civil rights issue of our era. We're calling on the President of the United States to snap out of it, snap out of that Ivy League fog, and come see things where they're really happening.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Fox News Channel and its on-air personality is supposed to be colorblind. That's what they pretend.
All right, first of all, why don't you talk about me?
Let me finish. Let me finish. And they always talk about black on black this and black on black violence, black on black crime. Now, as soon as the black professor talked about white males as a social problem, Fox News Channel thought that was racist. Now, they don't mind talking about black males every day and every night.
Friday column pointing out that white people are uniquely prone to these mass murders like the one Aurora, Colorado, James Holmes, and Jared Kushner and Adam Lanza. Yeah, yes. I pointed that out. That is a reality. But statistically, that is a blip. That is a blip in the total number of homicides.
You don't get it that people of all colors commit crimes.
You don't get that there's a ghetto civil war going on, Michael.
You continue to harp on the so-called black male as society.
Because it is a disproportionate phenomenon. If we're going to protest Freddie Gray, for God's sake, how can you not protest 122 of the 123 homicides there?
You want to change the topic. You want to change the topic from...
You want to avoid the topic.
On the part of police.
You want to avoid the topic. All right, that's an excerpt. I understand some folks had some problems with transmission at the top of the first hour of the program. That's what you missed. It is an impassioned debate. I think that I've got the statistics on my side. I want to get to your calls momentarily. I just want to read you from the New York Times. I was quoting the Daily News as the best crime, the most timely crime reporting. It seems they get the NYPD stats first. But the Times has a great story out of Chicago where evidently Spike Lee is trying to make a movie called Chirac. Chicago, Iraq, Chirac. Let me just read. A reference to the gun violence that has left parts of Chicago feeling like a war zone to many residents. The name is believed to have been coined by local rappers years ago, but it's taking on another life as the working title of a new Spike Lee movie that is expected to be filmed here this summer. Now, it has here, as of May 17th, Chicago had 133 murders. May 17th, 133. Memorial Day weekend alone, which was after that, they had 56 people shot, 12 fatally. I'm trying to count up here. They've gotten at least 150 murders now compared to 123 here in New York. So Chicago, well past New York by a couple of dozen, it is so sad. So now Spike Lee's getting a lot of gas from the community, like me. Because he wants to make this movie Chirac, Chicago, Iraq. It is a crisis. It is real. Rob, you're the first one from Staten Island. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
The problem is that these community, the black community, just got to, you know, they got to fess up to it. They have a major problem, and they have to address it. That's it. Instead of pointing the finger, blaming the white man, blaming this one, you got to look at your own community. You have major problems. You need healing. You need restoration. There has to be something has to be done.
Absolutely correct. Thank you for an excellent call there, Rob. Here, let me, I'm just reading in the Times here. Gun violence is a way of life for many Chicagoans, especially in pockets of the South and West Sides. Street gangs have splintered and multiplied in recent years, complicating police efforts to tamp down crime. Every year, warm weather brings increased gunfire and gang activity, as well as a drumbeat of headlines announcing each weekend's alarming tally. Then it goes on to report that Memorial Day weekend, 56 shot in Chicago, a city of less than 3 million people, about just over a third the size of New York. Here is New York. What's your how do you identify yourself?
Afro nerd.
Afro nerd. Okay, Afro nerd. If that's the way you want to be identified, you're on.
Definitely. There's a reason for that. Thank you, Geraldo. Quickly, one thing is we have to stop being perceived as a monolith as black people. Just as Latino folk are certainly not monolithic, black people are not also. The last caller said community. It's communities. So if we can stop with the narrative, the sole narrative as of black criminality being the ambassadors for the black culture, that's a problem. And also, for folks at Fox, and I consider myself a conservative, but for folks at Fox, if they're going to talk about black dysfunctionalism, why don't they talk about black dysfunctionalism being a promoted thing? Corporate structures, Nike, Mountain Dew, Reebok, they subsidize this narrative and it's promoted to everyone, but it sticks with black folk. So, again, different types of black people. You have Africans that are actually better educated than Asians as an ethnic group. Nigerians are better educated than Asian folk. But many people do not know that. Stop treating black people as a one mind, unimind, and allow different divergent voices in the black community, whether it's...
Well, you're on now, so what's your... I get it that, you know, we can't stereotype, but don't you think that at a certain point it becomes so telling, these statistics, that they have to be dealt with as a generalized problem? In the same way that all blacks weren't segregated, but if we talked about segregation as a generalized problem, why can't we talk about this intermural or interracial violence as a communal problem?
I think it definitely needs to be talked about. And what the problem is that you're going to a select amount of people.
So you help me out here. Well, how should I do it?
How you should do it is, first of all, start to focus on, start allowing divergent voices. So people.
All right, so you're on now. You're a divergent voice. You identify yourself as a conservative, so go ahead.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is there's too many folks like whether it's Al Sharpton, and he's allowed to have his opinion. But we have too many people who give out the singular black voice for the dysfunctionalism. And also get on these corporate structures that pay millions of dollars for a...
Believe me, I got in a lot of trouble for saying that I thought hip-hop culture had done more damage to black people in the last decade than racism. I believe that. I think that by extolling the virtue of cred, so-called street cred, what they mean is that you have a criminal record, that you need that as a credential before you can be a hit musician. I think that there's some sickness to that. I think that's a dead end. I'm an integrationist. I want everybody to succeed. I want equal opportunity for everybody. I understand that some communities are starting way, way back and have historic wrongs and injustices and all the rest of that. But still, I want people to live anywhere they want. I want them to go to whatever school they want. I want them to get jobs at an equal rate as anybody. I'm the old-fashioned person in that regard.
Geraldo, I agree with you so wholeheartedly, but if we can get the messaging to be different, that's the main thing. We're hearing the same message. It's like we're on, what is it with the gentleman, what's his name? I can't remember. He said that repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is insanity.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with right now.
I forget who said it, but I agree with it. All right, I got to go, Afro Nerd. Call in anytime.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Just want to briefly mention, we had a great time at the Ramsey Subaru-sponsored bicycle ride for autism on Saturday. We were fearful that it'd be, on Sunday, we were fearful it'd be rainy. It wasn't. It held off. We had a great ride. Sol and Erica rode with me 10 miles. They had it wonderfully arranged. I think they made some nice money for the cause, fighting autism. And it was really a wonderful, wonderful turnout. Curtis was there with his son. We had a good time. So good time had by all for a wonderful cause. It was great. You know, one thing I with talking about black on black crime, brown on brown crime, et cetera, all the violence in the urban areas. And I think the civil rights issue of the day. We had a debate just earlier that I think is really telling in all this, how political correctness is stifling debate. We had the a mini debate on, I expressed frustration how now when you report a perpetrator of a crime on the lam, you're not supposed to mention his race. And I think it's preposterous. And people say, well, if you mention the race, then all the news is black man did this, black man did that, brown man did this. And it just adds to the stereotyping that all black men or all brown men, a brown man like me, are the perpetrators of this awful violence. I think that if you can't mention the race of the perpetrator, then you shouldn't mention the description of a perpetrator at all, because it's ridiculous. It's leaving out the headline in me. You know, what do you think he's going to keep that plaid shirt on that he was wearing when he committed the crime, or that top hat? That tuxedo when he committed that crime? Man wearing denims, 5'4", seen fleeing the crime. If you see someone that matches that, come on, give me a break. If you can't mention the race of the perpetrator, then don't even report it at all, because you're not telling the true story. So just if you're worried about stereotyping, don't mention what the perpetrators or alleged perpetrators of the crime look like at all. Because it's BS. I'm going to take one last call. It's been great calls today. Vince in New Jersey, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, Ronald. You know, I don't understand what blacks that call your show want. They should actually thank you for trying to stop the black crime. And if you look back, there's never a time in our history that we've been more segregated between blacks and whites. And you have to ask yourself why. I mean, 85% of blacks vote for one party. 85, probably, I don't know what the actual number is, but how many of them actually live in one neighborhood? My parents are Puerto Rican and Italian. Those neighborhoods don't exist anymore in New York, those specific neighborhoods that they grew up in. People get out of those neighborhoods, they assimilate, they just move into society. Why is it that blacks continue? I mean, I have my own theory as to why.
Well, some of it is self-segregation. I think you're right. But there is societal forces that we have to talk about also. I tell you what, Vince, excellent call. Don't be a stranger. Call us back. You know, tomorrow we're going to continue this discussion. Nobody is scaring me away from anything. Noam and I shall return. Again, congratulations to Ramsey Subaru. Curtis and I thought you did a great job. We'll see you here tomorrow.